Hi, my name's Sue Lilyman, and for the next few minutes, we're just going to be talking about reflection and reflective practice.
Okay.
So, what do we mean by reflection? When I ask my students, they very much talk about looking back, the looking in a mirror, seeing myself, seeing my practice, but often it's past tense. Often it's looking back at what we did before. So, where can we reflect and in what role? We can reflect anywhere in any role we want, whether it be in clinical practice or whether it be as an educationist. We then need to look at what we can reflect on. What's the catalyst? What's the situation that's made us reflect? So there are different aspects of reflection. There's reflection in action and reflection on action, based on the work of Donald Shawn back in the 1980s. We've already talked about reflection on action. Like my student said, it's looking back. It's something I did that I now want to improve or change. But he also talked about reflection in action. He said there's time to think about practice whilst we're actually doing it, whilst we're in the moment. Our practice should be based on what we know and do. There are also other people who talk about reflection, and Boyd and Fowles talk about a process of change. It's not standing still, it's doing something, it's a movement. We change our practice, albeit whatever it is. If you look back at Dewey in the 1930s, he was an educationalist and he very much talked about reflective activity. It's an active process, it's not a passive process. You have to do something. It doesn't happen to you. It's part of experiential learning. It's critical thinking, not just thinking about what we've done, but why we've done it. Why did we do it that way? Is there any other way we could have done it? And it's about relating our theory to our practice. We need to bring the two together. When we're analysing, we need to bring theory into that to make sure that that goes into the practice that we are doing, or even to generate theory from our practice. One of the things we haven't talked about in that long list is anticipatory reflection, and this is often forgotten. What about looking at things before they actually happen? If you look at the tools, the models of reflection, they all start with an event. Whereas Van Maiden here, he very much talked about we think about things before they happen. We analyse, we critically think, we do all of the cycle except for having the experience often before it happens. And that's part of reflection, having an action plan drawn up from all your thinking beforehand, before you actually get to the event and then implementing it. So when we reflect, there are different types of knowledge that we need to incorporate. We need to incorporate the things we've learned. We need to incorporate that scientific knowledge, the information that we know either about our clinical practice or about our teaching or whatever role it is we find ourselves in. But with that, we bring personal knowledge, our experiences. Our experiences are all different. We're different people because of where we've come from, and that influences our practice. But we also have what Barbara Carper called ethical knowledge, which is actually our moral base. Again, we all have that inside us, and that reflects the type of people and the way we work. But she also talks about aesthetic knowledge. Aesthetic knowledge is the actual practice that you do. It may sometimes be in conflict with your ethical knowledge if you have to do things outside your comfort zone, for example. But all these four elements, as say made developed by Barbara Carper, or first talked about her in the 70s, very much makes up the type of knowledge that we need to include in reflection. And if you look at people like Christopher John's models of reflection, he very much bases his on her four ways of knowledge. So, ways we can now reflect. We've talked about reflection in action and on action or practice, but also we need to reflect for practice. There needs to be a purpose. We need to be doing something with it, not just thinking about our practice, but taking that forward. And also reflecting with others. This is another element that's quite often missed off. We talk about reflection. It always seems to be a lonely practice that we do on our own. But actually now We need to be reflecting with others, using other people's knowledge as well. We can empower people through reflection then. Through this, we can develop appreciations. That working with others, we can bring people together. We can look at good practice. We often forget that reflection is about the good stuff, not just about negative. There's a place we need to think about when things have gone wrong, but most of our practice goes well. So why does it go well? How can we make sure that that practice continues the way it does and then develops when it needs to? So developing appreciations about our practice and not just the negative side. Reframing that experience, looking at some other theories, taking some other theories into it. Could we have done it a different way? Would it be more appropriate? And as I've mentioned, building that collective wisdom, sharing that with others so we're not just a lonely practitioner, but we're working together to improve and enhance each other's work. And as I said, that movement going forwards. So what do we need to be to reflect, to be a good reflective practitioner? We need self-awareness. We need to be able to look at our practice. We need to be prepared to. There may be things we don't like. There may be a lot of things we do like. There is some description needed. We need to describe what the event is or we think might be happening. But if you're writing this for an assignment, get off that description quick. The description is the catalyst for the actual reflection. What you need to be looking at is the critical analysis, bringing that theory in. Where has it come from? What is it I need to do? What are those types of knowledge that I'm using in order to achieve what I want to? And once you've done that, you can then, once you've pulled it to pieces, you can then synthesize it and put it back together into a new form of practice, into a new action plan, something to take forward. And from that, you need to evaluate your practice. Where is it you go from now? How has that all come together? I hope this has been useful, and if we can help you any more, please feel free to contact us at Education for Health, and we'd be very happy to talk more with you. Thank you for listening. Bye.